This month, teams from nearly 60 nations gathered in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, to compete in the 8th annual Homeless World Cup. Players include recovering addicts, the homeless, and the formerly hopeless. The tournament seeks to improve the lives of its players through sports, and there's a newcomer to the soccer field this year, Team Palestine. NPR's Sam Greenspan reports.
Watching from the bleachers above Copacabana Beach, you'd have no idea that this is anything but a normal street-style soccer tournament. Dozens of flags of the represented nations encircle the arena, and fans cheer on in a number of languages. Down on the pitch, it's a fierce four-against-four match as players kick the ball from one side to the other, ricocheting it off the sides of the ring before the striker can run up and launch it between the goalposts. But this isn't just any normal soccer tournament.
You're watching the Homeless World Cup 2010 Rio de Janeiro.
The Homeless World Cup. In this tournament, it's not just the other team that players are trying to defeat in the rapid-fire 14-minute games. It's homelessness for everyone across the globe. Mel Young is a co-founder of the Homeless World Cup. More than a single event, it's actually a nonprofit organization that works with local groups worldwide to develop soccer teams alongside of whatever services they might already provide. Young says that just being part of a team and having a sense of purpose and belonging is enough to help someone re-enter society. And he's seen it happen, even in his hometown in Scotland.
I get on the bus in Edinburgh, where I live, and the bus driver says, "Oh, hi, Mel. I'm one of the players in the Scottish team, and I was homeless and so on." And I went, "Oh, yeah, I recognize him." And then he says, "Yeah, I've got the job as the bus driver. I've got a house now. I'm engaged to be married, and my life's completely changed because I started playing football. And we have made an impact through football in his life, and he's used the football to change it, and it's a significant change."
Which is all to say that there's no money to be won here. Funding comes from Nike and the United Nations, among others, who pay for the training, travel, and uniforms of more than 500 players. But for Lisa Reitzman, who plays for the USA women's team, having a team to belong to is its own reward.
It's a reason to stay sober, you know what I mean? Like, knowing where, like, I was in jail like 10, 11 months ago, I know where drugs and alcohol took me. I didn't expect to have fun in recovery.
Reitzman is now in a program that's helping her get back on her feet. But there's a difference between being homeless and not having a homeland. For the first time in the Cup's 8-year history, there's a team for Palestine, made up of players from refugee camps in Lebanon. The Palestinian team is a pack of darting, weaving limbs that keeps the ball flying from end to end. Their opponent in this game is Hong Kong, with a tightly woven defense that keeps the ball from getting too close. Palestine takes its time, passing the ball back and forth, looking for an opening, and then they score. Ismail Machal plays striker for the Palestinian team. He has no job waiting for him back home.
I'm still a student, study, but when I finish my study, I can't work in Lebanon. When I finish my study, I have to find another country, like United Arab Emirates, Canada, Australia, USA. It's difficult because I'm Palestinian.
For Machal's team, the competition is about putting Palestine on the map, figuratively, if not literally. Back on the soccer pitch, the Palestinian team wins this game, beating out Hong Kong 8-2. After shaking hands and hugging the players from Hong Kong, the teammates kneel and press their foreheads on the turf in a brief moment of thanks. Sam Greenspan, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.